Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Sometimes I say it's a great big Wednesday show, and I might be puffing it up a little bit, but not today. Today is a great big Wednesday show.
To be sure.
Second hour, Father Terrence Ehrman will be here. Father, a scientist and priest theologian who will be here to talk about Christianity and the Christian relationship with nature. What is the proper way to think about the Christian's relationship with nature? That's going to be a big giant thing. And Father's going to be one of the speakers at our conference. So we'll talk to him a little bit about what he's going to talk about at the conference as well. This hour, the chaplain is in, Father Hugh Barber, our chaplain and former prior of St. Michael's Abbey and theologian and philosopher himself, trained at the Angelicum and the Augustinianum. How did I
That's
do with
right.
that?
That's pretty good. Yeah, it's just it's old news.
It's old.
Well, very old news, but anyway.
They're old places.
Yeah, but I'm here at Catholic Answers. That's what matters.
That is what matters, Father. It's good for us. And you heard we did a little pre-show with Marie, our new assistant producer.
Absolutely.
And she was praising your humilies, which people can get on YouTube. You do Fine. Like the name humilies, or is that?
I haven't even noticed until today.
Did I say it?
That, yeah. But I haven't been recording them lately, so it's there must be old homilies.
Maybe.
Those old ones, yeah,
well, I'm
probably,
sure that they're timeless. When we say the chaplain is in, we mean that if you have a question of a pastoral nature, if you'd like to talk about issues involving your prayer life, your family life, maybe the sacramental life, Father is here to help as a chaplain. We spend a lot of time doing apologetics, explaining the faith, and Father's happy to do that if there's something that you need explained, but we don't spend as much time doing pastoral things, and so if you have a pastoral question, that's what the chaplain is here for. 888-318-7884, the number 888-318-7884. I want to ask you a question, Father, and I have some personal interest in this while we let the phone lines light up at 888-31-TRUTH. What is spiritual direction, and what are people supposed to get out of spiritual direction?
Well, spiritual direction basically comes under the heading of the virtue of prudence.
Okay.
Prudence is one of the four cardinal virtues. Prudence is that virtue whereby we are able to use right reason in deciding what to do. And one of the first acts of prudence is to take counsel from somebody else.
Oh, I see.
And so basically spiritual direction is just taking counsel from somebody else about what we should do with regard to our spiritual life. It's not some kind of magical thing where, you know, my spiritual father tells me to do X and so I do it and all works out fine. That may be possible in any given situation, but in point of fact, it's just simply the reasonable, prudent action of taking counsel with regard to our personal life. So we want to know about our life of prayer, about our practice of the virtues, our struggles with sin, all these different things, and so we take advice. And sometimes it's from a priest. Sometimes it can be from a good, solid layperson who has a lot of experience. It doesn't have to be a priest.
Okay.
If it's with a priest, it's probably convenient to combine that with confession. But in any case, it's just simply an exercise of the virtue of prudence.
And then, but some of the saints' lives, we read about them, and they got lousy spiritual directors. Or it'll be like part of their life is almost like persecution.
Yes,
sometimes.
And Teresa of Avila talks about how awful it is for sisters to get bad spiritual direction.
Yeah.
And so there you are. I mean, but that's like, it's just bad advice. It's not magic.
I see. You that know, just so means you're getting bad advice.
Bad advice. Yeah. You're getting bad advice, right.
And Teresa of Avila herself got some bad advice about sinful things that she was told that as a young woman, those aren't sinful, don't worry about it. And she said it didn't help her to advance in the spiritual life.
Right. Well, that's the difference between the judgment of the confessor and the needs of the person. Sometimes a confessor may be eager to encourage a person and not to discourage that person, and so not to make too many demands or obligations. But then he may miss the fact that the person has been given a grace to be especially generous and to try harder and to work on their faults and all that. So that's probably, I mean, to speak in favor of her bad directors,
Yeah.
They probably just didn't get the fact that she was being moved by the Holy Spirit to do better, and they probably thought she's just a typical nun in a provincial monastery in Spain who just has her own struggles, right.
and don't burden her too much,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. So, yeah, because most of the time, the priest that's talking to you is interested in not burdening you too much. And
really?
So you need to speak up. If you need like really strong advice, you say, look, Father, I need more than this. I need some kind of incentive to do better. And just tell him. You know, he might come up with something.
Ah. I have a deacon friend who describes his spiritual director. I think it's common for clergy people to have spiritual direction. Is that right?
Typically. Hopefully they do, yeah.
Yeah. Even bishops?
Even bishops, especially bishops, I would hope so.
Really? So you're a bishop and you have this big responsibility and you need someone that you can go to?
Yeah, if you're a bishop, if anyone's listening right now, if you're a bishop and you don't have a spiritual director, then you're just being silly, all right? You need to have somebody, just to let you know. Yeah.
Now, do you say that because bishops would come under particular spiritual attacks? Or?
Of course, and so many concrete decisions to make that it would be good for them at least to vet those decisions by somebody who could give a different perspective. Yeah. I mean,
okay.
It doesn't mean they have to follow it, but it's a good idea.
Yeah, they need that. Uh-huh. 888-318-7884 is the number. The chaplain is in. Our chaplain is Father Hugh Barber. Father is a Norbertine priest. Norbertines founded, don't tell me, in the 1100s. I'm going to go with 1137.
1121.
1121.
Okay, it's pretty close.
But 1137, okay. That was a big year for them. That was their 16th anniversary.
Whatever it was. Yeah, of course. Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
Okay. I'm so knowledgeable, Father. It's amazing. The depth and breadth of knowledge.
Well, all you right. Got the right century and you got more or less the right decade, so it's pretty good.
Okay. So I'll remember, though, next time, 1121.
Yeah.
It was 100 years. Well, never mind. Okay. So here's my question, though. I have this friend. He's a deacon. He goes to spiritual direction and he says his spiritual director is really tough on him and he likes that. And I think maybe, is he being just macho or just, is that good for you to have someone who confronts you about or maybe he's just a terrible sinner and I don't know about it.
Well, I think it comes on the virtue of prudence. It's all practical. So you can't generalize about the situation. Some person might really benefit from someone who's really hard and demanding and directive.
Right.
Someone else might be terrified and discouraged by such an approach.
Oh, yeah.
So that's where spiritual direction comes in, is that the director is supposed to be paying attention to the particular needs of the person. And that's a problem for priests, if any are listening. You don't adopt a single perspective for everybody.
Right.
Like, I tell them this or this or this. No, you pay attention to the person that is in front of you and try to accommodate it to the person's needs. A young person who is very zealous and desirous of making progress might be very open to, being treated pretty roughly.
Mm-hmm.
But say someone who's been through constant trials and difficulties and has a whole burden of sins, and then those of others who may need only encouragement and not too much criticism.
Right.
So I think you just have to really look at it from the point of view of that it's empathy. Like, listen to the person that's talking to you and then calibrate the direction to the person you're talking to.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Think the apostles had spiritual direction?
They had the Savior of the world.
Oh, yeah, that.
That would have helped a little bit. They were a little clueless, but they finally got it right.
Yeah, but I didn't mean that while he was still with us here, but afterwards. And maybe they helped each other out.
Well, afterwards they had even more because they had the Spirit of Truth, which enlightened them after Pentecost. So
those apostles are something, aren't they?
The apostles are the founders of the church after Jesus, so let's pay attention to them.
Hey, I'm sitting here looking at this thing. It's called Contraception and the Spiritual Struggle. I love this article. It's by you, by the way.
Okay,
I don't know if you know
fine.
That.
Oh, great.
But it's it's in the...
Everything I don't have to do. It's like I'm writing for all these married people that I'm living with.
Oh, that, the you don't have to do
like,
it.
As a... like I'm not saying like, oh, it's so easy for you anyway. But I did write it and with a good heart and a desire to help people.
Yeah, and I feel like you. There can be this idea among Catholics that we talk about mortal sin, we talk about venial sin, we talk about what can I do, what can't I do. And all that language has a very important place in the church without denying it at all. But it seems to me that what you're saying here, and you can help me, is that what we should be kind of asking is how can I advance in my relationship with the Lord? How can I go forward, deepen my relationship with the Lord?
With the healing of my passions, my fallen nature. Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Okay. And that the and so how does that help us talk about contraception then?
Well, it means that we shouldn't focus, although it's true and we should always uphold it, that there are certain acts which are intrinsically wrong and gravely wrong. And if we fall into them, we've committed an act which is intrinsically and gravely wrong. It still remains true that what we are trying to do is progress on our way towards the Lord in the sacrament of matrimony, serving Him and loving Him in terms of the family we intend to bring about and procreate. And so if we fail, and I'd say this very carefully, if we fail on a given occasion, well, we failed. So then we have to repent and do better.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't dramatize it so much and we shouldn't adopt the perspective, say, of the progressives where, oh, if you weren't consistent on this particular point, then you don't have the right to hold on to your principles.
That is, it
happens very often that couples who are really committed to doing the Lord's will, they occasionally fail.
Mm-hmm.
So they just repent and continue the struggle. That's more or less what my message is about. I mean,
yeah.
You want to make it simple. It's like we have to keep struggling and moving along, trying to mortify our passions, love each other rightly, and order our actions towards the ends to which the Lord has established them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we should not overdramatize or trouble ourselves if
yeah.
we fail.
Because the Lord is patient, the Lord's merciful, the Lord's always there with us, always ready to start again.
As long as we don't justify ourselves.
Now explain that to me, Father.
The moment we start saying, well, this is okay, I have the right to do this, and so on, then you cut yourself off from the openness to God's grace. So I think we have to have the continual disposition to be repentant and humble in the face of the Lord's demands.
Yeah.
But we need to trust Him that when we fail, He will give us what we need in order to persevere.
God is good.
He is totally good.
Well, I have to admit an ulterior motive in bringing up this article because it's in what I think is one of the finest Catholic publications in the world today.
Absolutely.
Catholic Answers Magazine, Share the Faith, Defend the Faith. I forgot about the cameras. This is in the May-June issue. And you can subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine by going to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Every subscription comes with a free digital subscription. Whether you subscribe for a year or 2 years, they all come with that free digital subscription, which opens up a whole bunch of content to you. It's an award-winning magazine, but far more than being an award-winning magazine, it's one that helps real human beings live the real faith. And Father's article is well worth getting. If you have the chance, get it, read it. Catholic Answers Magazine at CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. We'll be right back with more. The Chaplain is In right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Dr. Scott Hahn, and stay tuned for more Catholic Answers Live.
Catherine Zeltner.
There are so many misconceptions when it comes to abortion and assisted suicide. It's really confusing, and I think for a lot of people, they don't know how to talk about these things. EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, we help to change that. We help to really untangle these web of lies. Listeners can expect to become informed and then grow more confident so that they can then discuss and dialogue these issues, and together we can really impact culture in that way.
EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on EWTN Radio.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, great big giant Friday show. It really is a great big giant Friday, excuse me, Wednesday show. Wednesday, it really is. Yes. I was going to say it really is a great big giant Friday show, but you can't do that on Wednesday. It's no. Ontologically impossible. It's an ontological impossibility. Our guest this hour is Father Hugh Barber, our chaplain and an erudite chaplain he is. Did you just give me a raspberry when I said erudite?
Give me a raspberry.
Okay, all right. I just want to say before we go to calls, and we're going to get to calls right now, so hang on there, callers. It is a very full studio here today.
It is. Full. It's filled with all kinds of people.
We have guests from the Imperial Valley, the founders, and one of the radio host from John Paul Catholic Radio.
Is
John
Apostles, Paul Apostles and Promoters of the Faith.
But then we have a whole bunch
we'll
of seminarians from,
in heaven.
From our diocese, the Diocese of San Diego.
There you go. They're all there.
Yeah. So, and they're getting on the screen right now.
Right, of course.
That's so nice. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for coming.
They're much better looking than we are, so.
Well, they're younger, Father. That does give you an advantage.
Just, you know,
there's the advantage of youth. Simon in Texas watching on Facebook. I wish faith, there was a Facebook. There should be a thing called Facebook.
What did you have for lunch?
If, I don't know. It shouldn't have made me talk like that, whatever it was. Simon in Texas, watching on Facebook. Thank you for watching on Facebook, Simon. You are on with the chaplain. Your question, please.
Hi there.
Hi,
hey, Simon.
I've heard that the whole point of the Third Commandment is to keep people from being slaves. But making it a requirement that everybody rests on Sunday makes me think that I can't if I'm feeling generous that day. So why did God make that a requirement rather than a guaranteed option?
Oh, well, it's a very simple question because, as St. Thomas Aquinas tells us, the ritual requirements of the old law are no longer binding. The moral requirements of the old law in their application can be binding or not binding according to a person's prudence. And the fact is that the particular details of how we would observe a weekly rest in honor of the Lord, which of course is Sunday and not the Sabbath. Christians should not call Sunday the Sabbath. It's not the Sabbath. It's Sunday. All right. So just keep that in mind. That has to do with the practice of Christian people over the centuries. And the basic notion is that we should observe Sunday in a way that gives preference to the worship of God and the love and the community that we have with our neighbor. And so current day Catholics are not under any obligation whatsoever to avoid taking care of each other on Sunday. Basically, you go to Mass, you can go and you play a game, you can go out to eat, you can go to a show, and then the people that are working in order to enable other people to rest or enjoy themselves are allowed to do that. So it's not a strict legal requirement. That is, what we are required to do is not to dedicate Sunday to works that are not compatible with the nature, the sacred nature of the day. That being said, since that's a positive law and not simply a moral law, there are people in a particular situation who don't have that choice. Your job doesn't allow you not to work on Sunday. And yet, if you don't work on Sunday, you might lose it. Now, someone could heroically refuse to have that job and lose the job. But the church doesn't automatically require people to be that heroic because they have people depending upon them. And since the Sabbath is no longer a precept as it was in the old law, we can be a little bit reasonable about it. So I hope that helps you.
Does that help you, Simon?
Yes, it does.
Oh,
thank you.
You sound surprised, Simon. I don't know why you would be surprised. Father is very helpful to most people.
The main thing is go to Mass and be good to people on Sunday, and you'll be fine.
Okay. Did you hear the note of surprise in his voice? Like,
no.
Yeah, that really was helpful. I'm shocked.
Well, probably talked to some crazy person.
Nicholas in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Thanks for downloading the Catholic Answers app on your phone. Nicholas, your question for Father.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Hello,
my
Nicholas.
My question is it a sin to watch movies or TV shows in which you know the actor will take the Lord's name in vain, or that there may be an occasion of immodesty or a bad joke, etc. Because I was gotten some priests, advice from some priests that conflict with somebody I heard on YouTube. It was a traditional priest who said, if these things are in there and you know they're there, you should avoid them because you'd be participating in the sin or something. And his logic was something to, like, if there's any, it has to be, like, completely perfect or it is immorally evil. It was, like, making the distinction between artistically good and morally good and this type of thing. Yeah. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that because I'm really not sure.
Well, and I'm not entirely sure either, but I can just tell you this much, that if the cursing that's in the particular movie or play that you're watching is necessary to convey the particular circumstances or behavior of the persons with a certain accuracy, and it's not something that's tempting you to imitate them, then it's certainly licit. Licit or allowable doesn't mean that you have to like it or engage in it. You can say, fine, it's okay, but I'm not interested in that and I don't want to hear it. But the point is that unless the movie or TV that you're watching is trying to bring you into and formally engage you in that kind of blasphemy or cursing, then you may have a margin of judgment saying this is a realistic representation of a particular situation, because, you know, it's hard to imagine depicting a bunch of guys on the battlefield who never all they say is darn and
doggone it.
Gosh, darn. God, you know, whatever, they don't say.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just kind of silly.
Yeah.
And so consequently, there's a certain legitimacy to that. But it doesn't mean you have to watch it or approve of it, but it just means it's not you're not actually participating in it. So I would say you have a certain large margin of freedom there, but you have to use your own judgment. And that's what we don't use often enough.
Okay, Nicholas.
Okay, so just a quick thing to add. So, I mean, it's not necessarily like a war movie, but say, I mean, am I allowed to say a movie title?
Sure, whatever you want to say is fine.
I think. Like in Back to the Future, I know that he took the Lord's name in vain, like, whenever, I forget what exactly happened, but I know he said JC at least once, and then all these other classic movies, like, you know what I mean? And I'm just thinking,
exactly.
That's not necessarily a good situation.
When I was in high school and I was in a Broadway review in my high school class, and they had one case where one of the characters exclaimed the holy name, and so I left and I went out and sat outside, and then the director came out and said, what's the matter? And I said, I'm not going to be in this play if you're going to do that. So come up with some other expression. And she gave in. So, you know, you can take that sort of stance, but I couldn't say myself that if I hadn't done that, that it would have been wrong, because it was actually in the script, but there you are. I would say take a stand and if you want, but on the other hand, it's a question of whether or not this is leading you into sin or anyone else into sin, or whether it's simply a realistic presentation of things that actually happen in the world. And believe me, God is the one who allows those soldiers to curse. So if you want to make an issue of it, take it up with him, because he's letting him do it. And if you want to say, oh, God, why do you allow people to curse? You know, we'll take it up with him. But I mean, the point is that you're not being led to curse by hearing their cursing. You're led to be empathetic with their situation where they're cursing. And that may be something really, really good, you know, for you.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, you have to remember, you know, God is the ultimate cause of everything, and what he allows, and what he, you know, so I would just say, yeah, take a stand. I did when I was a kid, but I don't know if everyone should do that.
And we will leave it there, Nicholas. Thank you very, very much for that question. Back to the Future is very realistic. It's like cinema verite.
I'm a complete movie idiot, so I don't know anything.
It's a Michael J. Fox comedy about time travel.
Okie dokie.
that's the best response I've ever seen.
Next question.
Okie dokie. Moving on. All right. I don't know if I want to get to the next question because we have to take a quick break.
Okay, fine. Okay,
but,
good. All right.
Maybe I'll get to the next question.
All right, so help me.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this, though. There was a movie called The Exorcist. Did you ever see that, or do you know anything about it?
I remember it, yes.
Okay.
In my youth, yes.
So in there, the devil utters the most vile blasphemies.
Yeah.
But that is what the devil would do.
Right, exactly.
So if you're going to depict that, it's kind of hard to do it without...
Yeah, it's we live in a culture where in the good old days, they wouldn't have even depicted it.
No, but they do right, now, that's a good point.
For people that have no common sense or spiritual sense, it might stir them up or make them realize how bad the devil actually is. Who knows?
Right. I'm sure that movie did for
but
many
let's
people.
Just say if it's realistic and it's an artistic portrayal, you can't automatically rule it out.
Yeah.
You know, because look in the Bible. The Bible is full of like all kinds of horrendous things.
Right.
Honestly.
Yeah, it is right. That's right, because that's the truth about humans.
Right, exactly.
But I do have to admit that I am with Nicholas to some degree that if you watch just contemporary media, very casual about blasphemies and taking the Lord's name in vain.
Terrible. Yeah.
But, very casual about it. Like, what do you think? Why did they even do that? It wasn't necessary for the... All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more with our chaplain, Father Hugh Barber, right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
Many atheists assert the only real form of knowledge is scientific knowledge, thus excluding any sort of religious knowledge, whether philosophical or theological. Such a belief is called scientism, and it's unreasonable for two reasons. First, it's self-refuting. Its truth cannot be verified by the scientific method. It's a metaphysical proposition, and as such, is not scientific knowledge. But if science can't verify the truth of scientism, well then, scientism itself cannot be a legitimate form of knowledge, in which case, it's self-refuting. Moreover, scientism undermines science as a rational form of inquiry because it denies presupposed philosophical assumptions that are necessary to even do science, such as there's an external world outside the minds of scientists. So, to reject God's existence on the grounds that it's not scientific knowledge is simply unreasonable. I'm Carlo Broussard with The Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Join us this September for a conference that is sure to ignite and inform your faith.
Every time we come here, it's just an incredible experience.
I love it. I love it. I'm so glad I came here.
And I'm having the time of my life.
Early bird pricing ends July 2nd. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today to register.
These guys are so amazing. I always get so much, learn so much. I've already signed up for next year.
Do you enjoy tedious lectures full of facts you'll never use? We didn't think so. That's why we're launching the Council of Trent, Trent Horn's engaging new podcast. Every week, you'll get lively lessons in Catholic teaching, as well as a new conversation roadmap that will help you share your Catholic faith with anyone, anytime, anywhere. Visit TrentHornPodcast.com now to find out how you can subscribe to this exciting new podcast.
I'm Tom Price.
And I'm Gloria Purvis. Tomorrow, Father Bjorn Lundberg.
Along with Marjorie Dannenfelser of the Susan B. Anthony List. Join us for Morning Glory, 7 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest this hour is Father Hugh Barber, our chaplain here at Catholic Answers. Next hour, Father Terrence Ehrman will be here to talk about the Christian's relationship with nature. How are we to think about nature? And what relationship are we to have with it? 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH. I started the show by saying it was going to be a great big Friday show, but it's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday, yeah.
But I said that, I think, because I will be off tomorrow. So in my mind, I thought it was Friday.
Whatever. It's fine. Okay. Wednesday's child is full of woe. So.
Okay. You know, what's making me feel bad about being off the next 2 days, though? Patrick Coffin is going to be on Friday.
Your predecessor.
Yeah. And I feel like people are going to think, oh, Cy left to get out of, you know, like having to compete with Patrick
hardly.
Or something. Like, well, thank you for saying hardly, but, you know, but Patrick's a big deal. But that's
it's
not
just
why.
It's nice to have a little, you know.
I had scheduled this long before. But
of course, I'm
justifying myself.
Never
to you,
fear.
You told
okay,
me not to justify fine. Myself.
No, but, I told you that already. But anyway, people will be happy to hear him. The people that liked him better than you will be happy.
Oh.
And the people that like you better than him will say, oh, we have him
I have
for a while.
Such a big feeling that
they're
the,
all
the latter
people
group
that listen
smaller.
To the show, period.
Okay,
they were listening
yeah.
to it all along.
Yeah.
So it's
but
all
Patrick's
okay.
Patrick's a big deal. Come on. Patrick
he's a big deal.
Yeah, he's a big deal.
Every single one of us is a big deal, frankly.
That is true, isn't it, Father?
Absolutely.
What do you think of like C.S. Lewis's thing that he said that if you could see what you will be, you would, you know, right now.
All right, absolutely.
He said if you could see what you will be, you would be tempted to get on your knees and worship.
I told them that this morning, but maybe they got it, maybe they didn't. But anyway, but I told them that.
That's an extraordinary thing to say. It's just like we're like a little seed right now. We're not the full-grown plant yet.
We are God's children now. What we will later be has not yet come to light.
You
for
sound
them,
like an apostle.
We'll see him as he is.
Yeah.
We don't know, but it's really big. And we're just like little pygmies in the meantime.
Yeah, in the meantime, we don't know. Anonymous in Toronto, Canada.
Nothing un-PC about pygmy, okay? I just didn't mean that in a mean sense. I just mean, you know.
Oh, it's often, yeah, that has become a word
yeah,
for small.
Of course, right, exactly, yeah, sorry.
But all right, okay, yes, correct yourself, Father. No more of that un-PC stuff.
Right, exactly.
We're nothing if we're not PC around here. Anonymous caller in Toronto, Canada, who's listening on the Catholic Answers app, thanks so much for downloading the app. Anonymous, your question for Father Hugh Barber.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Happy to. Oh, I said we're very happy to. I'm sorry, we're talking across an international border and talking over one another. I'll let you ask your question.
Of course, probably there are all kinds of charges now for talking to us that didn't exist before. So,
yeah, right. That's right. There's a tariff on this call.
There's a tariff on this call.
Because everything from Canada has a tariff now.
Right,
so
right.
Go ahead, make your tariff question.
Okay. So I just have a question. Actually, I have two questions.
Okay.
So the first one is my boyfriend and I have actually been together for 3 years, and you know we have a lot of love for each other.
Mm-hmm.
We try to stay chaste, but oftentimes we end up failing. And I just wanted to know from like your perspective. Like I'm scared sometimes if I don't make it to confession in between those times I fall, and God forbid I died in this mortal sin, would I go to hell? And my other question was, from a priest's perspective, could you help me understand why fornication between two people who have been, you know, together for so long, have a kid together and are faithful to each other, like why that is a mortal sin?
Sure. Not a problem. I can answer that question very easily. First of all, you have to consider what the point of sexual relations is. And the first point of sexual relations is that a man and woman come together for the procreation of new life. And if they come together with the procreation of new life, and they come together with the ability to take care of that life in a stable and permanent manner, and so consequently, their sexual intercourse requires the bond of marriage, because otherwise there is not the security and the permanency of the bond. Now, granted, any given little couple who love each other, they can say, we're never gonna leave each other. We love each other. We're never gonna be part. But if you expanded that to society as a whole, you would see what a disaster that would be, because men and women are very different. And let's just say guys will make use of a sweet girl a lot and then not follow through. And the girl may have certain ideas about how the guy is faithful to her, but maybe not. And so you have to consider the common good of society. Your relationship goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. And what you are doing has to do with the entire human race, not just with the two of you. And so consequently, when you get together, you need to be together in a way where you can take full responsibility for the results of your behavior. And your behavior should be not just behavior, but actually the most beautiful thing in the world, that is the bringing forth of new life. So I wouldn't put it like, why is sex before marriage a mortal sin? People, the world puts it that way because they want to make the church and our religion sound unreasonable and harsh. But the real issue, why it's seriously wrong, if you want to put it in different terms, is because this is the foundation of everything. I mean, really and truly,
yes,
everything.
Yeah.
like I could not exaggerate how important the relationship when a man and woman have intercourse, that is about absolutely everything of any importance in the entire human race. And so if they take it casually, if they take it just because they want to do it or whatever, no. Our teaching is that is the most solemn, most important, most fruitful, most consequential of behaviors. And so we need to be very clear on what we're doing when we're doing it, if you don't mind my saying so.
Anonymous?
I see. Okay. Yeah.
That helps
it's,
you?
It's not just making your boyfriend happy, okay? It's not about that.
It's about much
It's about
much
being
more.
A wife and a mother. And yes, you could go to hell for doing that. It's true. But the worldly spirit will make you focus on that, those focuses, mortal sin, hell. And then you'll begin to think, but it feels so good and I love him so much. And so that just sounds so mean and unreasonable. So why should I accept this stupid teaching? And that's the way it goes. And so let's just not focus on the mortal sin and the go to hell part, but let's focus on the fact that if you're a true human being who really wants to be united to another true human being and do what God wants you to do, you will do that, but you'll do it in a way which will be good for the new life that you generate. And that's the whole point. But it is true. It is a mortal sin, and you will go to hell.
I will.
If you're deliberately, continually, and willingly doing this. Now, I'm not saying in your human weakness. I mean, believe me, I have no problem with the fact that, you know, our Lord, he saves people very effectively. And so there are all kinds of limitations on our freedom. But let's just say you have the intelligence and the interest to ask this question online. So maybe you need that inspiration to then tell your boyfriend, no, we can't do this until we get married and have kids.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for your answer.
Okay. God bless you. Peace.
Thank you.
I'll pray for you.
Thank you very much for the call, Anonymous. I'm left with the question. Did I miss something? Was there a reason why she didn't marry? Did she say why they don't?
She didn't say.
Oh, okay.
She said they've been together for a while, so whatever that means.
It just seems that there's a lot of young couples who are maybe afraid to marry, or I don't know why they don't get married. They live as a married pair.
You answer that question. I don't know what the answer is.
I don't know the answer either. I mean,
I'd get married if I had a girlfriend, but I don't. So, you know, I'm a priest, so it's okay.
It's really important for you not to have a girlfriend, too.
That's very important.
That would really get in the way of you doing the job you've been given and following the vocation you're following. All right. So we just don't know why. But there does seem to be an almost inordinate fear of marriage. But a lot of people, I think they've seen the divorce of their parents and even their grandparents. They've experienced a lot of trauma around marriage. Well,
they don't know the difference between marriage and Mr. Weinberg. That's the problem.
Oh, wait. Who's Mr. Weinberg?
What's his name? You know, Me Too guy. You know,
they
don't know the difference between that and just...
So Weinstein.
Weinstein, whatever his name is. One of those names. Sorry. Excuse me.
Yeah, I know you're right. Because you're not picking on the person, but you mean this behavior, they think it's all the same thing.
Right. It's just like, no.
I see.
Those guys are jerks.
Those guys are jerks.
Basically, they're jerks. And so they don't get that anyway.
And a husband is at least someone who's trying not to be a jerk. Although I can tell you as a husband... Most of us
try really hard.
Most of us are jerks.
It's
Mary,
very important to stop trying.
Mary, listening on Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, please save me and Father from one another by asking a question. Your question for Father.
Hi, Father. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I have a question. I'm truly seeking the truth and prudent manner.
Excellent.
So my father... Well, I come from a large Catholic family.
Sure.
My father has, as a gift, scheduled a New Year's Eve cruise coming up in December with all of 28 of us, my siblings, nieces, and nephews. And it's from Sunday to Sunday. Attending Mass won't be a problem on Mass. And we realize, so this whole thing has been booked. Oh, dear, we have the Holy Day of Obligation on January 1st.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And
you don't live in California where they abolished the Holy Day.
Did they?
Anyway,
it's not a Holy Day.
Yeah, they did. It's horrible here. But anyway, but thank God you live in Michigan. So,
okay, so you'll be out at sea or cruising somewhere.
Yeah, right.
We will be out at sea.
Right. And
exactly.
Let me just let you know that the church's tradition is that if someone's traveling and they're unable to get to Mass, they're not obliged to attend. Okay. and it may have been planned beforehand, but it's okay. Now, you might, in the meantime, find a happy priest who's willing to go with you on your cruise.
Are you trying to get invited on a cruise?
No, I'm not.
I feel like you're trying to get invited on a cruise.
Not me. No. I definitely say no. But I mean, the point is, you could get a priest to say mass for that. But let's just say you're on a trip. You do not have the obligation to attend because legitimate recreation, extraordinarily under the circumstances, with the planning that goes into it and all that, that suffices as an excuse. Granted, it would have been nice to come up with some solution, but there's not a question of a serious obligation. I just tell you.
Okay,
you're traveling.
So
travelers.
Considering.
So what is it? What is it you're considering, Mary?
We were considering going through and trying to find a priest to come with us and go through all that rigmarole. Not rigmarole, but some of my siblings think that's going too far. That's not necessary. I don't know that it's not necessary. This isn't like an obligatory trip.
Yeah, it isn't necessary. It isn't necessary. It's a vacation, and that's a legitimate excuse. But if you can find a priest, fine. But not under the aspect that if you don't have a priest saying mass, you're all committing a mortal sin. Don't approach it that way. It's not reasonable.
There's not a heavy burden on you, Mary.
No, there's not a heavy burden on you or anybody else. If you don't get to mass,
okay,
you know, maybe you just pray a rosary together or something. But don't put it in the perspective where everyone has a big guilt trip because they're not going to mass on Sunday. Just don't do that because it's a family event. It's very beautiful. And people go to mass, and if you had a priest that you knew well enough to do that, it would have been great, but I wouldn't push it too much. I would just have a happy time together.
Okay, Mary?
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you.
God bless you. Peace.
I was sure you were trying to talk your way onto that boat.
No, not
that's really
not.
Seemed like you were talking your way onto that boat.
No, Great Lakes. Sorry. No, thank you.
She didn't say they're going on a cruise on the Great Lakes.
I don't
know
what it is.
She's from Michigan. But people get on a plane and go other places.
Whatever, okay. Save us from ourselves, okay? Next question.
No. Oh, look at you taking over the show. Did you know we're giving away a free MP3 right now?
I did not.
Yes, Catholic. You just go to Catholic.com and you get a free MP3. You can have it too, Father. Just go to Catholic.com.
I wouldn't know what to do with it.
What is an
MP3?
It's MP3 is a sound file. So that you can listen to a talk that Chris Check does.
Like called, a Rodin statue like that?
No, not like a Rodin statue, Father. It's an audio file that it's called Modern Martyrdom. Could It Happen Here? You get it by going to...
I hope so. Yeah, anyway.
It could happen here, but it's about mostly about the Cristeros and the martyrs of the Mexican Revolution. Chris Check, who is a big, great historian of the Mexican Revolution and the Cristeros and Viva Cristo Rey and all of that. Just go to Catholic.com. When the free MP3 banner comes up, you just click on that banner and you get it. That's it. We're not selling you nothing. We're not asking you for nothing. That's not correct way to talk. Excuse me for...
Double negatives are fine.
Really? They're okay?
We like them, yeah.
We just want you to have this free MP3 of Modern Martyrdom.
Great.
Modern Martyrdom. Could It Happen Here?
Great.
And we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more with the chaplain right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
We're glad you're with us. Stick around for more Catholic Answers Live.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
Here's one thing that I would recommend, what I call gap time. So, for example, you're driving in the car. When you're at home, maybe doing dishes, what are you listening to on the plane? See, I use all those gap opportunities and fill those gaps with things that are going to strengthen and deepen my faith. So I listen to EWTN podcasts all the time because I also want to learn and grow and deepen in my faith.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Cy Kellett, your host here with our chaplain, Father Hugh Barber, and lots of people on the line. So I am going to try to get to as many of them as I can, Father. Mike, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio, channel 130. You are on with Father. Your question, Mike.
Hi, Father. Yes, I'm afraid one of your callers might have answered my question about being chased in a relationship, but if I could just have a different slant on it, then I had a quick biblical question that relates to the being chased. But I'm almost 70. My partner's almost 70. We've been together for about 6 years. And once in a great while, we attempt to be intimate. I felt out of love for each other, I guess just to make sure that we still have feelings. And but after it's over, whether the act is complete or not, I feel compelled to go to confession right away, which bothers her since she's not a Catholic. She wonders why it has to be a sin. And then if I don't go to confession, I'll skip communion. And I'm just wondering if I'm being a little bit too dramatic about it, as you said.
Not in the least. If you are with someone to whom you're not married, no matter what your age, then you're not allowed to be intimate with them. That's it. You know. So, yes, you should go to confession, and no, you shouldn't do that. And all of the reasons, all of us understand the ache of the human heart, the desire we have to be close, the temptation that's there, all of that, that's all there. But we need to be reasonable about what our faith actually requires of us and just, you know, keep that in mind. So if you fall, get to confession right away and encourage the one you love, if you truly love her, to repent and to recognize that what she's done is wrong also. Because the purpose of love is to bring those around us to God. And if we lead them away from him, then we're not really being loving. And that's the important thing. So I would just say, yeah, keep it up. And do you live with this person or you're just friends?
Well, we've been together, like I say, 6 years. We both have our own homes, but yes, she does stay with me most of the time.
Okay. Well,
may I ask a, I'm sorry.
Sure. Go ahead.
Yes, and again, this is a, sort of a tongue-in-cheek question about this, and I'm not a biblical expert by any means, so I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. But I was reading...
Go ahead, be a smart aleck. It's okay on this show.
Yeah, and they were going through talking about, of course, this subject. And at the very end, it says something about a fiancé, they were engaged. Uh-huh. And how I read it is if two people are engaged and have the urge... that it's better to satisfy the urge, I think.
Oh, I think
No. You have to be married. There's just so you have to be permanently committed, and no, being a fiancé is not sufficient.
Did it say there it's better to marry than to burn or something like that?
That's what
St.
Paul said that, yeah.
Okay. Well,
so I would say marry this lady. Marry this lady if you want to have relations with her regularly. Marry her. That's what I say.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of the Bible passage. No. I wasn't trying to be fresh to him. I thought that, like, might be the passage.
This is the old. I mean, this is not rocket science. Okay,
it's not rocket science, is it?
We love you, but I mean, honestly,
get
if
married.
You love her, marry her.
Yeah, Felipe in Houston, Texas, also listening to EWTN on Sirius XM satellite radio. You are up next. Your question for Father Felipe.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call, Father.
Yeah, sure.
Two questions. First of all, in the Mass, is it correct to hold hands when we pray our Father? And secondly, in the Mass, before the consecration, when the priest prays, usually the parishioners, we open our arms following or answer the his pray. Is also incorrect, like, the, for instance, when we say, it's just on right. I open always my arms for years.
Yeah, I understand. It's not a problem. I would say the first thing is, yes, it's incorrect to hold hands. Don't do that. At the Our Father or anywhere else during the Mass, don't hold hands with each other. But raising your hands in prayer as a gesture of prayer, like your two hands raised together, that's perfectly appropriate at any point at which a Christian wants to pray, period. And it's not a liturgical gesture in and of itself. Granted, we normally see only the priests doing it, but if you spontaneously or otherwise want to respond in prayer with your hands upraised, there's nothing that forbids you to do that. Nothing at all. And if you want to pray the Our Father with your hands outstretched and some tratty Catholic tells you that that's not right, just tell them, forget it. I'm happy. I'm free to do that. Look at all the icons of the church and whatnot. It's a perfectly, it's actually one of the most beautiful gestures of prayer. And I would even recommend for people to do it, at least in private, that when they pray, they extend their arms to God, because it reminds us that we're receiving and not just fulfilling a task. So, number one, no, don't hold hands during the Our Father. Number two, raise your arms and pray as much as you want. That's my opinion.
Thanks, Felipe, for the question. I'll point out that the seminarians were doing the wave, Father, while you were answering that question.
I noticed that. They were being seminarian-ish. That's because they're too embarrassed to admit that they would like to pray with hands outstretched before the Lord without wondering what the other seminarians are thinking about them.
Father says, raise your hands, men. Catherine in Colorado, listening on the Catholic Answers app. You are up next with Father. Your question for Father Hugh Barber.
Thank you for your ministry and furthering Christ's kingdom in this ministry.
Oh, thank you, Catherine.
And my question, why is a man and woman who are pronounced husband and wife at a wedding ceremony unable to remain married if one of the spouses is impotent? Why can't they live as Mary and Joseph, who never consummated their marriage, if the other spouse chooses? And then how can Mary and Joseph be called husband and wife if their marriage was not consummated? And how can Mary have two spouses?
Okay, well, there are a lot of questions right there. I would say the first thing, which is the more concrete one that maybe responds to situations you're thinking of, is the question of the impotence. That is, if a couple get married and the impotence of the man in particular is judged to be antecedent to the marriage. That is, it already existed before they married. And because when you get married, you have to answer a questionnaire. And one of the questions is whether or not you're able to perform the consummation of the marriage. And if you can't, you can't get married. And so if you can't and it's a temporary condition, well, then you have to wait and take care of it. If it's a permanent condition, then you just simply can't get married. That's the way it is. So the impotence, which is subsequent to the marriage, that is, they were able to consummate the marriage when they got married, and then subsequently it happened, that's a different question. And then they're still truly married, and then they just have to seek the medical or other help that they could get in order to have marital relations or not and live chastely, whatever it might be. So the consummation of the marriage is required for the validity of the marriage, but that has to be something which is established before the marriage begins. And if for some reason the impotence was not detected beforehand and it was antecedent, that is, it wasn't something that happened after the marriage, well, then the marriage is invalid and they can get it annulled and they can marry subsequently. That sounds kind of brutal, but there you are. I mean, because marriage is about procreation. Sorry, folks. Sorry, all you theology of the body people who don't pay attention to what John Paul II actually said, and you don't really think that marriage is procreation, but it is, okay? Just let you know. And then, so that's one. Then with Mary and Joseph, of course, Mary and Joseph were truly married. They were truly married because marriage involves the giving of the body of one to the other, so that Joseph had the rights over Our Lady's body, as wild as that sounds, and Our Lady had the rights over Joseph's body. But moved by the grace of God, they chose to remain continent in view of their divine son, whom they were bringing about by a manner which was far above ordinary human procreation. But in a certain sense, you could say Our Lady and St. Joseph, they fulfill the end of marriage way beyond any imagination that any human being could have, because this is not only a son, but it's the Son of God made man, born of the Virgin Mary by the protection and presence and witness, and very important witness, of her virginal husband, St. Joseph. And Our Lady, remember, she says, your father and I, she calls Joseph father. So let's get rid of this foster father stuff and just call him the Father of Jesus. We got to get rid of that stuff.
Catherine, we will have to leave it there. Thank you so much for that question. Thanks, okay. Everybody who called. Next hour, Father Terrence Ehrman will be here. I see that there's another question, Father. I can't get
to it. Yeah, you can go to communion twice. You can, for sure.
Father answers a question I'm not even able to get to.
You're serving two masses, you can go twice.
Fine. May we have your blessing before we go, Father? Father?
Benedictio Deum Tintis Patris et Filius Spiritus Sancti, descendit sub vos et maniat semper.
Amen.
Amen.
With Father, Son. Amen. Thank you so much, Father. Next hour, Father Terrence Ehrman will be here. Father Ehrman is both a scientist and a priest theologian, and we're going to talk about the Christian relationship to nature, a very interesting topic, given the current discussions about environmentalism and all those kind of things. You're not going to want to miss that. Hang around for Father Terrence Ehrman right after this on Catholic Answers Live.